It is now 12:06 p.m. on May 3rd, 2023, and the regular session of the Arizona State Board of Fencing Opticians is in session. We're going to move on to 5B and C, no licensed opticians and nationwide visions, 33076, 33069. I believe we have representatives from Nationwide on the call.
Yes, hi everyone. This is Bill Hoffman and Ryan Shea from the Polsonelli Law Firm.
Hello, gentlemen. Welcome.
Thank you.
Do you have anything you would like to present to the board before we make our ruling?
So last night we circulated to Gene a PowerPoint that lays out our position here. And we should also report that we recently learned that after an extensive search, Nationwide was able to find an LDO for its Green Valley location. So the only location that we are speaking about here today is the Bell Road location. And our position is simple, as we laid out in our deck that we sent last night. There are exemptions in the statute for both optometry or physician-owned entities under one, and then two includes an instance where a physician or an optometrist is dispensing a under the supervision of a lay individual, and
a lay dispensing under the supervision of an LDO, an optometrist or a physician.
Correct. My apologies. And our position is that for this Bell Street location, we believe that in the time that we are searching for an LDO, that, you know, arguably the whole statute, but at the very least, the portion of the statute requiring a full-time LDO should not apply, because per the exception, at all times when a dispense occurs at the Nationwide location, every dispense will always be supervised directly by an optometrist. So because of that fact, while we search for an LDO at that location, we believe that that location specifically should be exempt from the full-time LDO requirement. And, you know, to piggyback on the board's comments in the prior discussion, you know, as further set forth in our deck, because the optometrist who is performing the direct supervision has a license on the line, we believe from a policy and a patient safety perspective that everything is being done in a manner that's in the best interests of the patients that Nationwide serves, as well as the general public.
Okay, and are you aware of the two-door laws in the state of Arizona for employed optometrists?
Yes.
Independent optometrist on premises or next door to?
Yes.
They're employed as an independent optometrist. They don't work, they're employed by Nationwide under your management company. I don't see how they can be held accountable to supervise.
Well, it's because they're
an employee.
Well, right. But similar to an optometrist owning a PC and having a vested interest in ensuring that dispensing is done correctly, when an optometrist is on site and is directly supervising a dispense, their license is on the line in the exact same way. And if a dispense goes wrong and a patient is harmed, similar to the prior discussion, it's the optometrist's license on the line. So the same policy objectives track the prior discussion. Whereas in the prior discussion, because the
prior
optometrist,
the optometrist owns their organization. In your situation, your optometrists are independent contractors. That's the two-door law in Arizona. So I don't see how a separate independent contractor can supervise somebody employed by you. That's my question.
Well,
Terry Brown can tell you exactly what it is because he lives with it daily.
So I think there's...
I understand your claim, but if we make an exception, I mean, we've had businesses that have had to close because they couldn't get a license or close their doors for a while until they got a license.
Right. And that's not good for public policy to close down stores and to limit access to care.
No, absolutely.
And to respond, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, I just question in the Phoenix area not being able to find an optician, but that's, there are 900 in the state. We're concerned with setting a precedent that is a totally different situation than what we had on our previous issue.
Well, but let me say two things. The first of all is that in Nationwide's 77 locations, they employ a full-time LDO on site. This is a limited circumstance of one instance where an LDO just cannot be found. And I think the second response is, I agree this is a different situation, and that's because the prior situation addresses 32-1691-1, where it's an optometrist-owned entity, and this particular circumstance addresses 32-16.92, which is a separate exception that exempts the entire statute for a situation where an optometrist is directly on site supervising. And from a policy perspective, the exact same logic applies, where regardless of whether it's an independent contractor optometrist or an employed optometrist, his or her license, by virtue of being directly on site and supervising, is still on the line.
Mr. President, if I may, this is Terry.
Go ahead.
Here's the difference. If we open the door for this one situation, ultimately that opens the door for every Nationwide to say that their optometrist is now supervising, when in reality they're actually in the exam room seeing patients. They're not really supervising every dispense. It's impossible. But that being said, also, we are a two-door state. The optometrist does not work for Nationwide in any way. They work for, I don't know if you have a PC or if you have a sublease agreement with this doctor or what the situation is, but they are not employees of Nationwide, and therefore they cannot be, you know, legally held accountable for, let's say, you know, car accident, you know, get in a car accident because something was transposed, or, you know, someone who was not being directly supervised entered a prescription incorrectly. Litigation is brought to you, that optometrist is going to cut and run faster than you can think. And they're going to say, yeah, I don't work for Nationwide, right? And so we have these laws and these rules in place for reasons such as this, to protect the patient. So, you know, to say that we want to close you down, that's not what we want to do. We want you to make sure that you do have the right person in the right place at the right time to take care of these patients when they are being dispensed to. And the optometrist, unfortunately, in your situation, is not that person because they're not employed by Nationwide, and they can't be with the Arizona two-door state laws. It's not possible. So our law stands as it is, and unfortunately, as much as I'd love to be able to say, yeah, let's open up an exception, we just can't do it. And that's my opinion. That's my belief. You know, and look, I work for a PC doctor, an optometrist here in the state of Arizona. We've got 30 locations. We work inside of a corporate entity just like similar to Nationwide. And I can tell you, this is the law, and there's just no way around it, unfortunately. As much as we want to interpret it any way we want, it's not possible. The optometrist is not responsible for dispensing glasses Nationwide. Any way you look at it, as much as you want to say they are, they really aren't. So that's what I have to say with the laws. I think we need to look at those more intently before we go any further.
Well, and I hear and I take your points, but just a few responses. I don't understand the distinction between employment and independent contractor here, because first of all, there is nothing in this exception that requires the optometrist who is providing the supervision to be employed by the dispensing entity. I don't see that anywhere within the statute. Second, an optometrist, by virtue of providing supervision, is responsible. If an independent contractor physician goes to a hospital and supervises the service, he or she is just as responsible as anyone else. I mean, there's a reason that the statute was written this way, we believe.
In your agreements with your optometrist, you have a clause that states they are responsible for all dispensing of eyewear in your locations. And would that, you know, is that in your, you know, sublease agreement? Is that contract with the independent optometrist? Not that they are an independent supervisor, they're an independent optometrist, meaning that the point of that comment is they're a separate company who does not and is not managed by Nationwide, which is the reason why the two-door state law exists, is that the corporate entity cannot tell the doctor how to practice or how to see patients. That part is illegal, right? You cannot, the Nationwide cannot tell the doctor how to direct their patient flow, including or up to and including dispensing glasses.
Well, right, but hold on a second, though. When the optometrist does the supervision, they do so through an entity that is indeed a professional corporation. So there's no issue with violation of two-door laws or any sort of corporate practice restrictions. That's not the case here. And again, I point to the hospital analogy where there are independent contractor clinicians, physicians, optometrists, whoever, who perform supervision services on an independent contractor basis all the time and are sued if the service that they are supervising goes awry. And I also have to go back and point to the fact that this exception, which very clearly lays out an exception from the entire statute for a supervising physician or optometrist, nowhere does it state that the optometrist has to be employed. We don't read that in the statute anywhere. And just to sort of back up here from a policy perspective, this makes all of the sense in the world, because we read the statute as intending to say an LDO must do a dispense unless an optometrist is on site and providing supervision. And as an optometrist, you have a plenary license to supervise all of the dispensing activities. So with that plenary license comes two things. One is the ability to do anything that an LDO does, and two is a responsibility professionally to ensure that nothing under your supervision goes awry. And those two things are part and parcel with how a plenary license works. It's the same thing in many other states. And, you know, the truth is, and I'm cognizant of not wanting to waste the board's time, we are speaking about one location here. And we are speaking about a legal entity that employs LDOs at all of its locations. and to require a store to be closed down, because despite the fact that every dispense is being supervised directly by an optometrist, there's not an LDO on site, we think not only violates the statute, but feels like a restraint of free trade and, you know, unfair to the public, was one less location and access to care.
Any other questions?
One quick question. This is Deb. The location is in Phoenix. And out of curiosity, what attempts have been, this is on a totally different topic, but just on the hiring of an optician, how much effort has Nationwide given to finding this person?
So as the outside attorney, I can't directly speak to that, but I can say that when we began this discussion and when the board circulated its spreadsheet, there were two locations, the first being Bell Road, the second being Green Valley. Since the time that spreadsheet was circulated, Nationwide did find an LDO for Green Valley. So if there's any belief by the board that Nationwide is not putting forth good faith, strong efforts to find LDOs, I would like to believe that the fact that since that time we have found one for Green Valley would suggest that we really are trying.
Mr. Chair, this is Michael. May I ask a question?
Sure.
Just for clarification, is Nationwide asking us to revisit and reconsider our position on the statute, or are you asking for additional time in order to attempt to secure an LDO at this location that doesn't have one?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to say the lawyerly response, which is I'm going to plead in the alternative and say that our legal position is that because an optometrist is on site supervising the dispense, that in that instance, we do not need a full-time LDO. And we are, you know, fully prepared to challenge that if we have to. However, in the interim, as the board considers, as we continue to talk, if we could gain an exemption that will allow us a more time to find an LDO for this Bell Road location, and B, more time for Nationwide and the board to discuss, we would greatly appreciate that. I mean, our goal is not to be aggressive, and we want to work with the board here, and we believe we have a strong legal position, but at the same time, from a policy and reasonableness perspective, we would like some more time to discuss and define the LDO.
Thank you for the clarification.
Yeah, thank you. And if I may, just a couple other questions. One is, what are the hours of operation for Nationwide?
So as outside attorney, I don't know for sure. I would assume, okay. I assume they're open 40 hours a week, but I'm not sure.
Okay. And let's say they're open 9 to 6. There's one optometrist on site, is that correct?
My understanding is there is at least one optometrist on site, correct.
Okay. And how many exams is he or she seeing a day?
That I don't know.
Because my question would be, if they're in the exam room for the better part of 8 hours a day, you know, they're seeing six patients an hour, then they're in the exam room. So who's really observing the dispensing in their exam room? Do you have another optometrist that's working just the floor?
Yeah, and it's a fair question, but if you look at the definition of direct supervision, it says the direction and control through inspection and evaluation of work by consultation or instruction as needed, provided that at least one licensed dispensing optician works at each optical establishment on a full-time basis. So direct supervision is defined as the first part of the statute I just read, which is consultation or instruction as needed. And the second clause is exempted out because there is an optometrist who is there as opposed to an optician who has a plenary license. And to sort of tie these all together, in an optometrist-owned practice, it should be the same thing, right? The optometrist is there perhaps doing exams and perhaps not always physically over the shoulder, which was noted by a board member in the past is not required. But we believe that supervision puts the same onus on the optometrist to ensure that the dispense is done correctly as an ownership.
Okay.
Thanks for your response. I guess, no further questions.
Yeah. Well, we've got till July 31st to renew the establishment license. Is that enough time for you to get an optician?
I can't speak to Nationwide's plans, unfortunately, here. I don't know. I mean, I don't really know the market very well. All I know is that there are, and there have been in the past, efforts. I would love to say yes. I don't know.
Well, if they can't renew their license, the establishment license, by July 31st, it will expire, which means they'd have to go back to step one again. I mean, that's the way our law is on renewal.
Okay.
One of the requirements for the renewal is having a licensed dispensing optician.
This is Jean Galvin. If I may, July 31st would at least give us an opportunity to continue to speak with Nationwide and the representatives, allowing me to conduct any additional research that has been made. So long as Nationwide has submitted an application for renewal, the license will not expire until the board makes the final determination on that application. So I'm sure that Bill and Ryan will ensure that application has been timely submitted. And until the board makes a final adjudication under 41.92.11, that a license will not expire.
Okay, so Jean, if I understand what you're saying, and this might be taking an interpretation that's more favorable to my clients, so please let me know if this isn't correct. Is the board comfortable with giving this one location an exemption for now, provided that if by July 31st there's an application for an optical establishment renewal without an LDO, that it will be rejected? Is that right, or am I reading it too favorably for my client?
Yeah, Bill, I don't believe that, based on the discussion we've heard so far, that the board is willing to grant an exception for your Bell Road location. However, if you submit a timely and complete application before July 31st, all the interested parties can continue to negotiate. Nationwide can have time to fill that position. And so long as you get your application in timely before July 31st, the license will continue to remain active and open until we make a determination on that application. And that could mean a denial because you don't have an LDO. Maybe by then you will have an LDO, or we have reached some sort of agreement, or it goes back to the board.
Okay, so I think I'm tracking, but let me just restate it. to make sure that I understand. The Bell Road location can remain open because we are prior to the renewal period. However, if by our timely application filing, if any, that we do not have an LDO that's full-time at the Bell Road location, that renewal application will be rejected and the location must close.
If that is a decision that has to be made by the board, taking into account all the facts, but I can't say here now at all that that's a denial would be inevitable. What we do have an open complaint because you are operating without an LDO, and the board at some point has to adjudicate that complaint. But you can continue. Go ahead.
Sorry, Jean, I cut you off. Please continue. My apologies.
No, that's okay. So you can continue to operate, understanding that operating without an LDO could subject you to disciplinary action in the future. But if you submit a timely renewal application, the statute allows that license to continue. You may continue to operate until the application is finally determined.
So I understand that you are dealing with an active complaint, and the board, under its obligations and statutory requirements, must respond. But I still consider this part of the adjudication process. So Nationwide is taking the position that the statute does not require a full-time LDO because of the circumstances we discussed. So what I would like to ask the board right now is, during the adjudication and discussion process, that there is, you know, some sort of good faith conclusion at this point that if the Bell location continues to operate during the adjudication process, there will not be any sort of disciplinary action, with the understanding of the board and Nationwide and its outside attorneys will continue discussing this matter. It would be really a shame to put Nationwide in limbo under the threat of a disciplinary action while we were seeking to work through the legal nuances of the statute.
I don't think we're in a position to make those decisions at this time. We are going to deal with what we have in front of us, and you guys can have all the discussion you want, but this is a decision the board's going to make.
I completely respect the board's authority here, and I completely understand this is your decision. At the same time,
our attorney general is in a position to be giving you the answers, because I don't think the board knows what they're doing yet. We're up in the air. And you're asking for us to give you a concrete answer. Well, we're not. We can't. All we can say is that license will expire on July 31st. And at that point, if it does expire, then you would have to go through a whole new process of a new application. And one of the requirements for the new application is an LDO, full-time. That's also part of the statutes. I understand your exception situation, cognizant of it, but we can't say any more than to allow you to find someone by July 31st so you can not, we won't deal with it. You found one for Green Valley. So.
Okay, so, and I'm not trying to be difficult or argumentative. I'm trying to find a way to advise my client without being under the threat of a disciplinary action. What I've heard from the board.
They're in violation, so that of our current statutes. So obviously that would normally be a fine.
Right. Now, now we of course respectfully disagree with that position. And what I've heard from the board a few different times is that that July 31 date seems to be the drop dead date as to when we need to have an LDO. And if we don't, then we can't get the license renewed should we apply for one, and we can't operate. But that leaves, you know, May, June, July, 3 months where we're just in limbo. And what we're requesting, if you can give it, is some sort of certainty that while we adjudicate this and figure this out, that there will not be any kind of action or penalty or fine that's assessed. Because, you know, we are operating in a period of limbo, and we want to do the right thing. But at the same time, we do not think closing down a location while we discuss this process is appropriate under the statute. Neither is it in the best interests of the patients and the public.
This is Deb Wright. Mr. Chairman, can we go into an executive session to discuss this?
So we've got legal advice on this. So, I don't think we need to go into executive session. The bottom line is, Nationwide, even in Green Valley, they found an LDO. That's good, but they were operating without one for a while, which is in violation. So we're going to have to weigh that out. But the other thing that we need to keep in mind is we do have the deadline for the establishment license renewals, and we need to make sure that we stay on track with that. And if we stay on track with that, then, you know, I don't think you should say that we're holding a threat over their head. When establishments get in violation of statutes, and not having an LDO is probably the biggest one that we run into as a board. And it's just pretty crystal clear. If you don't have an LDO in your store, you're currently, as we've interpreted our rules and statutes, that's just the fact. Now we can, as a board, we'll have to decide if we're going to deal with this today or if we're going to put it on another agenda item so that the discussions can continue further. That's going to be up to the board to decide. And at this point, I think we...
I respect and appreciate that, and I also appreciate the time that the board has given this issue. I think the last two notes before we conclude here is, number one, we feel strongly that the wording of the statute and the interpretation of the first exception lends us to a very clear belief and reasoning that the exception in two of the statute exempts the Nationwide locations from the requirement of a full-time LDO. And I feel like there are two ways to approach this. The first is we can continue discussions, or option two is you can bring an enforcement action, fines and penalties. And my understanding from my client is that is something that we would fight. And, you know, I work with a lot of boards across the country. I don't like to fight with boards, but without a clear resolution to this legal discussion, if there is an enforcement action brought or some sort of fines or penalties, we are fully prepared to fight it. Again, not our preference, but we are completely willing to do so.
Heard. Any more questions, any more concerns, comments? Anybody want to say something?
This is Deb Bright, and I want to take, Mr. Chairman, your thought about continuing the discussion and Mark's comment about wanting to continue the discussion, because it seems earlier question I have, too, is Did Nationwide notify the board that they were having difficulty, or was it through our inspection of the board that it was identified that Nationwide at the Bell Road was in violation?
You know, as outside counsel, I don't know the answer to that.
It was through our investigation. We keep track of who has, we have a list of locations and licensees. It's in our database.
So Mark,
and it doesn't sound like there, I would say it doesn't sound like there's a lot of room for discussion, since the attorney just made it very clear that they're not really interested in discussing it further. They've made their decision on what they're going to do.
And
I have to make that decision.
Yeah, no, I would not characterize our position as this is what we're going to do and we're done with it. I would characterize our position as we presented what we believe to be a strong legal argument in support of our client's position, and that during the time period that this is adjudicated and discussed, that similar to my experience with other boards across the country, that rather than threatening or bringing an enforcement action, fines and penalties, that the board works with us to try to interpret the statute in a way that we think is fair and protects the patients in the state. And if after that discussion, the resolution is that you still do not believe that this exception applies, then fine, we'll have another discussion. But this is the first time that we, as attorneys for Nationwide, have discussed this. And, you know, we really just appreciate more time, particularly to work with Gene.
Okay, let's move on. I don't really know how we can bring closure to this point.
Mr. Chairman, this is Jean Gellin. You may just wish to get consensus from the board that they're willing to continue this matter at least until the end of July to give the parties an opportunity to hold additional discussions and give Nationwide an opportunity to fill the vacant LDO position.
I guess we'll find out and see if the board's wants to do that. Now, we don't have a meeting in July anyway, so it would be the August meeting, but the July 31st is still the
Mr. President, is it possible for us to go ahead and continue this discussion and add it to the July agenda? Is that something we can consider?
We don't have a meeting in July. We can talk about it, I guess, in June.
Okay, if that's not the case, then I'm spitballing here. I'm not making a motion or anything yet, you know,
right.
But how would the board, I'm trying to do this the right way, guys. Sorry. What if we were to grant a 30-day extension, but we are not agreeing to reinterpretation of our statutes because we already know what our statutes stand for and what they mean, as they have done for decades. So I would feel like that's a fair compromise in this particular situation, to give them enough time to really hit the pavement and make some offers to some LDOs and what it would take.
Gary, I think if we're going to do that, we would do a 90, because we would do it till August.
And I think that would be fair, give them 90 days, but we are not agreeing to reinterpretation of the law or our statute.
Right. Right.
Yeah, and I think that is something that, I mean, obviously have to speak to my client Nationwide, but I think that is something that our client would look upon favorably. And, you know, look, I think the point is that Nationwide needs to sit down and really evaluate all of its options. And we really do appreciate the opportunity to have 90 more days to find an LDO and sit down and figure everything out.
Okay, Suzanne, you want to make a motion to that? We'll move on through the rest of the agenda. We still have more to do, and we'll keep searching the renewals for LDOs and all the locations for all the stores in the state. So I would say we want to move B and C to August.
Before we make that motion, can I ask the attorney, are there any other locations that Nationwide currently is running that does not have LDOs in place?
To my knowledge, the answer to that question is no. Every single Nationwide location, with the exception of the Bell Road location, has a full-time LDO.
Okay.
And, you know,
and if that's not the case, can you let us know by the end of the week or by next week, dudes were to do an audit and make sure?
Yeah, and I think that we actually have an obligation to notify Megan in instances where we don't have a full-time LDO, which I think we've done. And, you know, just for the avoidance of doubt, to be very clear, for as long as Nationwide continues to have an OEL, it will have a full-time LDO. There is this one-time exception that we have, and we greatly appreciate the board's motion to give Nationwide 90 more days with the understanding that, you know, to be completely crystal clear, as long as Nationwide holds OELs, it will comply with the statute.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay. I think there are other locations that are without them right now. But
Mr. Chair,
let you check it. Yeah.
Mr. Chair, also, is it possible for the legal counsel at Nationwide to give us any updates in that interim period to let us know there's a best effort being made?
Well, yeah, they can give us updates,
yeah.
But we'll know if they issue the LDO for that location, we'll find out. July 31st is still and as far as being in touch, I don't think it necessarily needs to be lawyer to lawyer. This is, you can work with our executive director, Megan. She has her databases and she can keep you up to date with everything that's going on, paper-wise, tied into our database.
Yeah, I think that's important.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair, I think that's important because it was through Megan's efforts and her team that we found out that they were in violation versus, you know, as Mark is saying that you've all made a good effort. Well, that was only through our investigation did we find out that the Bell Road was in violation. So I think it would be, you know, helpful to show good faith effort with Megan, our director.
And this is Ryan Chafe from Polsinelli. I just wanted to just make a note that our understanding is that part of the reason why this came up is because Nationwide did provide notice upon the LDL leaving, and that's how this came to light as well. So we just want to acknowledge that there is a good faith effort on Nationwide's Nationwide side as well to comply location obligations.
Okay, we've hashed this one over pretty good. Let's move on. Suzanne, you want a motion to put this into the August meeting? You there? Hello?
Can you hear me now? This is Suzanne Coleman, and I'd like to make a motion that we move forward the matters of 5B and C to, actually, it's just 5C, correct?
5C,
to
yeah.
The August, so the, to the August 3rd meeting.
Well, then we also, yeah, we'll need a motion to dismiss B. Okay. Is there a second?
This is Eileen Pettit, and I'll second it.
Okay, so we've got a motion to move 5C to the August meeting. Any other discussion? Let's go ahead and put it to the vote. Dale Nyblight, aye. Suzanne Coleman?
Aye.
Sherry Mays?
I can't.
Oh. Well, Eileen?
Aye.
Deb Bright?
Aye.
Michael Searle?
Aye.
Terry Brown?
Aye.
It's been agreed to move 5C to August meeting. And since they have a license, Suzanne, let's go ahead and do a dismissal of 5B.
This is Suzanne Coleman. I'd like to make a motion that we dismiss the matter of 5B at this time for Nationwide Vision 33076 in Green Valley, as they now have a licensed optician.
And I, Eileen Pettit, second it.
It's been moved and seconded to dismiss the 5B complaint against Nationwide in Green Valley. Any discussion? Put it to a vote. Dale Nyblight, aye. Suzanne Coleman?
Aye.
Eileen Pettit?
Aye.
Deb Bright?
Aye.
Michael Searle?
Aye.
Terry Brown?
Aye.
Let's go to 6A. We've got a complaint against LDO. I would like to get a motion to have our investigator, Jim McClafferty, investigate the complaint against this optician and see if it's got a possible violation.
This is Suzanne Coleman. I'd like to make a motion that we have our investigator, Jim McClafferty, investigate this current complaint against Lisa C. Diggs, and that's item 6A.
And this is Sherry Mays, and I'll second that.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to have our open investigation against the complaint that we've received for a possible violation. And we'll have Mr. McClafferty take care of that for us. Any other discussion? Put the motion, roll call, Dale Nyblight, aye. Suzanne Coleman?
Aye.
Sherry Mays?
Aye.
Eileen Pettit?
Aye.
Deb Bright?
Aye.
Michael Searle?
Aye.
Terry Brown?
Aye.
We will have Jim do his investigation.
Mr. Chair, this is Megan Dorian.
Megan.
Our policy requires that one of the board members would be the representative of this investigation.
Yes, I was getting ready to ask. Michael, would you like to be the contact for Jim again?
It is the pleasure of the chair and the board, yes.
You did a great job last time. Let's keep it going. So we will have Jim report his findings to Michael, and Michael will report to us once we have some info. Thank you, Megan.
Thank you.
Let's go to 7A.
This is Suzanne Coleman. and I'd like to make a motion that we accept the following applications for licensed optician from Gary Brian Massengale, Michelle J. Weatherby, Nicole Lynn Stalen.
And this is Sherry Mees, and I'll second that.
It's been moved and seconded to accept these three applications for license. Any questions? Let's do a vote. Dale Nyblade, aye. Suzanne Coleman?
Aye.
Sherry Mees?
Aye.
Eileen Pettit?
Aye.
Deb Bright?
Aye.
Michael Searle?
Aye.
Terry Brown?
Aye.
These applications have been accepted. Congratulations to the three new licensees. 7B.
This is Suzanne Coleman, and I'd like to make a motion that we accept the following applications for comedy for Anna Clark and Christopher William Rosenbluth.
And this is Sherry Mees, and I'll second that.
Been moved and seconded to accept these applications for comedy. Any questions? Roll call vote. Dale Nyblade, aye. Suzanne Coleman?
Aye.
Sherry Mees?
Aye.
Eileen Pettit?
Aye.
Deb Bright?
Aye.
Michael Searle?
Aye.
Terry Brown?
Aye.
Move on to 7C.
This is Suzanne Coleman, and I'd like to make a motion that we accept the following applications for optical establishments from Deco High Wide Sport Glasses Incorporated in Scottsdale and Costco Wholesale Optical number 1653 in Buckeye.
This is Sherry Mees, and I'll second that.
And seconded to accept these applications for optical establishment. Any discussion? Roll call vote. Dale Nyblade, aye. Suzanne Coleman?
Aye.
Sherry Mees?
Aye.
Eileen Pettit?
Aye.
Deb Bright?
Aye.
Michael Searle?
Aye.
Terry Brown?
Aye.
Okay, future meeting dates. We've got our June meeting, and then August we'll have a resolution to the issue that we're moving forward to the agendas, and the future agenda item was 5C, which is the nationwide location on Bell Road. Call the public. If you're anybody out there, hello. Any other questions, concerns? Thank you all for all your attention. It's been a long call, and I appreciate everybody's feedback. And we'll look forward to talking to everybody next month and continuing our further discussion with these issues. Everybody have a good time. Suzanne, sorry we had took so much out of your vacation time.
Okay, mahalo for everybody being here.
Mahalo. Appreciate everybody on the call. Thank you very much. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye.
This meeting is now adjourned. Meeting is adjourned at 12:59.
All right. Aloha.
Bye, everyone.